I always loved the nights when Mom made a goosey stew. It meant that my parents were at least trying to get along. The smells of cooking on my mother's side of the family were soft. Peppers frying in butter, onions turning translucent, and garlic turning golden. The buttery perfume of a roux and the sea shack scent of shrimp. My father, Patrick, was Nigerian, a skinny man with a hot temper. And just like him, the food of his people was sharper and more unyielding. My nostrils flared with the bitter smells of egusi stew, the scent of stockfish softening in a broth. That my mom was cooking his family's food was at least a gesture of harmony. Or maybe she just liked the flavors. They were, admittedly, delicious. My mother and father met in January 1989 at a political rally at City College in New York. They came together by chance and almost certainly wouldn't have stayed together had I not been born. But I was born, that November. And so, with my mother facing the prospect of raising both me and my half-sister Tatiana alone, having already lost one husband to a car crash, she decided to try to build something. A life, a family, a future, with a near stranger who was my dad. They were thrown together, rather than drawn. Two ships that should have passed each other in the night somehow collided and sailed, briefly, under the same flag. As those smells crept under the bathroom door one summer night, they found me sitting on the floor, a three-year-old boy blissfully watching his mother prepare to go out. As she worked the comb through her hair, she curled her lips into a smile. Or perhaps it was a grimace. I was too young to read between the lines, to know the difference between a smile and a grimace, or when the former hid the latter. When my mother leaned over the counter in that cramped bathroom, almost knocking over the bottles of straighteners, outlandish curlers that looked like toys, and paddle brushes that looked like instruments of torture, I thought her expression was a smile. This was on a quiet block on a warm night in the Bronx, in 1992 or thereabouts. Yes, the Bronx, the boogie-down Bronx, the burning Bronx, the terrifying Bronx that gave birth to Big Pun and KRS-One. Not everyone from the Bronx comes from the streets, a correction I find myself having to make even now. Actually, we might be from the streets, but many of the streets are like mine, Waring Avenue, tree-lined and quiet, bordering the dense parkland of the New York Botanical Garden. And in the houses that lined those streets, there were many moments like these, magical, mundane. Sitting on the floor of the bathroom as my mother got ready, each one of her gestures was a deposit into a secret joint savings account between us. Four of us lived in that apartment. Me, my mother, my father, and Tatiana, who was 3 years older than me. It was an 800-square-foot two-bedroom, not a small apartment, at least not by New York standards. But the four of us were rarely alone in arrangements of our own choosing. That's why the moments when just my mother and I were together meant so much to me. Her doll-sized lip liner pencils, the miniature tubes of mascara, and the secret mirrors of her open makeup case beat my action heroes by a mile. Just being there, as my private mother became a public one, and I was the only audience, that was the best thing of all. Mom headed into her bedroom, and I, as I often did when left alone, tottered into the kitchen. For as long as I can remember, I was drawn to that room like a marble rolling down a hill. It was where I came to rest. The place was modest, none of those new Bronx gentrified condos, and our kitchen was the original. It didn't gleam with state-of-the-art stainless steel appliances, but it was well used. A groove had formed in the linoleum in front of the stove where Mom spent hours cooking. Next to that were four indentations from the little wooden step stool on which I often stood to watch her. I followed my mom around like a puppy, and just like a puppy, when she was in the kitchen, you couldn't slip a piece of paper between us. So as she cooked, I watched her work, my head just peeking above the counter. Despite her job as an accountant for a television production company and a social life that would put most millennials to shame, my mother somehow managed to always be in the kitchen. There was always something bubbling on the stove or cooking in the oven. She, like me, gravitated there to find a moment for herself.